I'm going to read verse number 7, 8, and 9 here in the chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We'll come back to this chapter in a little while here, but we're going to study this morning. We studied the week before last on the rapture of the church, and then we studied on the judgment seat of Christ last week, and we're going to look at the marriage of the Lamb today. I don't know if you've ever heard much taught on that. I have not heard a whole lot, but he don't have a lot to say about it, but it's going to be a very, very important thing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at some scriptures. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians and the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It's kind of an odd thing in some ways that we're going to be married. We are going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing, amazing thing. And that's going to happen one of these days. And I said, there's not a whole lot written about it, but we're going to just look at it this morning and see what the Word of God says about it. In the 11th chapter and the first two verses, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says that he has espoused us to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now let's go over to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter of Ephesians. let's start reading at the 23rd verse at the fifth chapter. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You notice there, he said he speaks concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. If people today would simply take those scriptures that I have read and mind them, you'd be surprised at the problems that would go away in marriages. Amen. They would go away. You see, most problems come when we don't pay attention to what the Bible says, and we don't do what it says. So anyway, again, he's talking about here, as Jesus said, he's referring the marriage of a husband and a wife to the church and Christ. Okay? Now, let's go over to the book again, to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, and let me reread the verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. He calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've thought many times as I've read that, Jesus is named in the Bible. I would not know for sure the amount of names that he is named in the Bible, but let me say to you, it is an enormous amount of names. And yet, when he talks about here the marriage supper of the Lamb, he calls him a Lamb. I wondered why he didn't call him the Creator, the marriage supper of the Creator. That may not sound as good as the Lamb, but he is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. And there's multitudes of other things that he could be called here. But John refers to him as the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's interesting. Just kind of keep that in your mind as you go. He talks here in these verses of scriptures about the righteousness of the saints. In verse number 8, he says, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, you remember last week we had a lesson on the judgment seat of Christ. And there was some of those things in the judgment seat of Christ that was going to be burned up. They was going to be tried by fire, and they would not remain. So what is left here, the righteousness of the saints, what he's talking about here is what is left when Jesus gets done with the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? And then this judgment seat, it takes place in heaven, I believe. I believe that's where it's going to take place. It's right after, I believe, the judgment seat of Christ, and then I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place there, I believe. But anyway, all believers will take part in this wedding. In verse number 14 of chapter 19, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And once again, this is all of the believers from the 120 that was in the upper room where they was waiting on the power of God to come, and until the very last one that'll be saved before the rapture of the church. All of those believers. Now, this is not the church, and the bride is not all the Old Testament believers. Okay? They have another function. They will be there, but they won't be a part of that supper, of that marriage. And so, anyway, now let's go here to the to the chapter 19, verse number 1. You notice here when he says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." I wonder sometimes if we really give enough credence to who we're going to be married to. I just wonder if we really turn to God and thank God for all that he's done for us in this salvation thing. And you know, I don't know whether you get excited about it or not, but I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be an exciting thing because you notice here, he says, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. And he says, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Can you imagine that we're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who came and died on the cross of Calvary? We're going to be there, and we're going to face him, and we're going to be married to him. It's going to be an amazing thing. Amen? It's going to be an amazing thing. And it's something that I guess I don't see people getting excited about, but I think we ought to be. I think we ought to be excited about it and realize what a wonderful thing it is. Now notice in verse number 2 and 3, he says, "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore." You know, this whore is the one that has deceived so many down through the ages. And after the rapture of the church, he's going to be the one that's going to lead many more into deception. And again, he says, I have judged him. For he said, "I have judged the great whore." And he said, "Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." She's going to be one that's going to turn multitudes and multitudes away from Christ. It's going to be, again, continuing into the tribulation period. And he said, "I have judged her." Well, we won't go back there and read all of that, but Babylon was judged. And he's saying, "I've judged her." And he said, "She did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." You notice there, he says, you've taken my servants, and you've avenged them at her hand. She is the one who's led them in the paths of deception. Okay? And so anyway, she said it's a great, great judgment. True and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore. And again they said, "Alleluia," and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The judgment is done, and he's judged her. Okay? And he said, and in that he said, "And her smoke rose up forever and ever." Amen. That's forever and ever. That's forever and ever. Amen. It's complete. It's complete. It's finished. And it'll be forever and ever. And then the 24 elders and four and 20 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah, so be it, Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in all seriousness, not condemning anything, but you just don't hear much of that kind of talk anymore. You don't hear it in even a church service. You don't hear him say hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I just think maybe we're missing something from that. Don't you think? Yeah, I think so. And but he noticed here that these 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. Who did they worship? Well, they worshiped God who sat on the throne. Amen. Again, remember, that's who should be worshiped. It's God that should be worshiped. And he said, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. It said, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. You see, that voice came from out of the throne. He said, we need to praise God. Amen. We need to praise God. I was thinking during this election, I listened specifically for it, and I know I wasn't sitting in a church service, but you never heard him say anything about the Lord. You just don't hear him say. Now, I'm sure there were places that did. I'm sure of that. But you certainly didn't see it much on TV or on the radio. Amen. And it's just really, I mean really, that's really aggravating to me. God ought to be praised. He ought to be honored and praised. And not just by a group here, but he ought to be honored and praised all the time, everywhere. Amen. And we need to do that, you see. We need to do that and give forth our praise unto the Lord. And it says that he says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Once again, they're talking about God. They're talking about praising God. And I just think of all of these things that's been said before it talks about the marriage of the Lamb. And it's praise to God. It's not praise to man. It's praise to God. Amen? It's praise to God. Yes. And he said, let us be glad and rejoice. You see, there should be a gladness for this marriage that's going to take place. And he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Well, the way that his wife has made herself ready is because he got her ready. He, the judgment seat of Christ took care of all the little, I shouldn't say little, maybe some of them are bigger, but all of these little things that's in our lives, and God took care of that. Jesus Christ died for it. Amen? He died for it. All right? And he took care of us and got us ready, you see. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You see, that's the righteousness of the saints, is what Jesus has done for us and cleaned us up. Amen. He cleaned us up and he gave us that fine linen. You see that white, clean, white linen. He done that for us, you see. We didn't do it. He done it. Amen. And so we says, that we should be granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You see, you notice there that he said they're called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed, he said, are they. We ought to be blessed. We are blessed because we're a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, I don't hear many getting excited, but anyway, it's the truth. It's the truth. And we're the bride of the Son of God who went to the cross and died there on the cross and was buried and then rose again the third day and went off to heaven to come again, I think, today. Amen. I think it's just a good chance he could just come today. Amen. Sure. Anyway, he saith unto him, he said, in over in Ephesians, we read quite a bit in Ephesians, but you read over there, it talks about the gladness of the marriage, and there was usually in the marriage, there usually was a waiting period, usually, okay? Not always, but there usually was, usually somewhere around a year, and it's significant because it shows forth a time when we are waiting for our marriage. It could be just any time. We just wait for him to come and to receive us and to take us home to be with him in the judgment seat. Maybe that's why you're all so sad. It's this here judgment seat thing, you know. We've got this judgment seat thing facing us. Maybe that's what it is. But we'll do that, and then we'll get ready for the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. Yeah, that'll be good. You see, there was usually, as I said, a waiting period, and usually some either friends of the groom or parents of the groom, depending whether the parents was dead or not, would go and arrange these weddings. They would arrange them. And they'd get everything ready, and they would get what was called the dowry. Is that it? The dowry. It was all set, and how much that would be, and all of those kind of things. That was paid to the bride's parents for the loss of her work and things in their household. So there was a dowry paid, you see. And sometimes that was in money. Sometimes it was sheep. Sometimes it was with cattle. And sometimes it was even with labor. Okay? Jacob done quite a bit of labor for his wives. And, you know? And but anyway, the oldest, you know, in the family, the oldest bride to be was the one that was supposed to get married first. And that's why his father-in-law used that as he gave her Leah. You remember he gave him Leah instead of Rachel. But anyway, Jesus came and paid our dowry. Yes, he did. And he did that when he was on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for each and every one that would say yes to him. Yeah. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Amen. I'm not going to say one unkind word about my Savior. Thank God. Thank God for him. He paid the dowry of our price, what it cost us for sin, and he paid it all. Every bit of it, you see. And he did that by dying on the cross, shedding his blood on the cross for us. That's what he did. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen to that. All right. Then what Jesus done is what the bridegroom usually did. They went and made the trek to the bride's place and house and wherever she was living. And then he went back home to the Father's house. And that's what Jesus done. Jesus went back home to the Father's house. And when he got back there, he went back there to prepare us a place. You remember in Gospel of John, 14th chapter, 2nd verse, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus went to prepare a place for us. And when he gets it all done, all is right and perfect, he'll come back and get us. Amen? Amen? And that's what they did here in the weddings, in the Jewish weddings. He would go back home, and then when the time was right, they did not know when he was coming, but he would come, usually sometimes of a night, and he would come and take his bride. Amen? And she had to be ready. Now, I know you say, well, Brother Ross, I'm ready. I've accepted Christ. I agree with that. But what kind of wedding garment are we preparing? What kind of wedding garment are we preparing? Oh, you and I both better think about that. You see, that's what the bride did while she was waiting for her husband to come. She prepared her wardrobe. That's what she did. She got all ready for him to come. And I'm saying to you and I, we had better just be busy about getting our wardrobe prepared. Amen? You think that's a good idea? Yes, I do too. Instead of worrying about this and that and little niches here and little niches there and this is wrong and that's wrong, we better be worrying about getting our wardrobe ready. Amen. Yeah, me too. And you too. Amen. And we better be ready when he comes. Amen. Well, you see that judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to go back to that a moment. That's what Jesus has to clean up that we didn't. You understand? You understand? That's what he has to clean up that we didn't get cleaned up. Okay? So we better be just reminded of that and give some thought to it and get some work done on it. You see, that's not for me to do for you or for you to do for me. It's for us to be sure that we are striving to get our wardrobe ready when Jesus Christ comes for us. Amen? Amen? And we're not to look at other people. We're to look at us and get us ready. Think so? Yes, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. You see, if we just pay more attention to us. Amen. Be surprised. We'd just be surprised how things would go if we just straighten ourselves up. Amen. Sure. So anyway, she goes to prepare a place. Well, What is she doing? It says over in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now he says, husbands, talking to us, love your wives. Okay? Love your wives. And he says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's no excuse that God gives to any husband to not love his wife. He is instructed to love his wife. His wife. His wife. Amen? Okay? His wife. Who even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You say you love your wife? Well, do you give yourself for her? Or do you try to boss her? I'm not talking about leading now. Husband is the leader. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Scripture says so. Okay? But there's a way to lead. Okay? And then he says in verse 26, that what? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Okay? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. It's through the word of God that Jesus Christ is going to clean us up, straighten us up, clean us up, and make us what we ought to be. And then he says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He said it's a glorious church. You see, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You remember when we talked about last week on the judgment seat of Christ? You remember how we talked about that he's got to get everything straightened out? I mean everything. See, it's so easy. Honestly, it is. So easy for us to look at another individual and say, well, you know, that person needs this or that. And it may be true, but what we better be doing is looking at ourselves. Looking at ourselves. Amen? And checking ourselves out to see if we're ready, see, for the Lord to come. Amen. All right, it's quiet. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's pretty simple. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. A man loves his own body, loves him, just like Jesus did the church. Okay? And if you want to love yourself, and you do, that's what Scripture says, then you're going to also love your wife. Okay? That's just what the Scripture says. Okay? And then he says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Okay? Makes sense, don't it? They'll be one flesh. And then he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, he stops and puts that verse of scripture in there. Who I'm talking about is Christ and the church. Okay? Then, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. His wife. Okay? His wife. Okay? And he says, even as himself. Now, we've already been told that we love ourselves. Yeah, we've already been told that. So now we're to love our wife as ourself. Okay? And love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Show respect and honor to her husband. I've said this many times. But verse 33 will straighten out most marriages. Now, you got to know all this other before. But verse 33, you'll straighten it out. He says that if you will love your wife, you love his wife even as himself. Boy, that's a big step. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. You say, Brother Ross, you know, maybe there's just something I don't love about my wife. Then you should have never married her. You loved her when you married her. Absolutely. And you should, and I should too, love my wife now. It's what it says. I'm just talking about the scripture, okay? And that's what the scripture tells us to do, okay? So what's that mean? Well, that means you're going to treat her a lot differently than maybe you do now. I'm just talking. Amen? And you, wife, if you will love your husband as you are supposed to love your husband, you will treat him a lot different than maybe you do now. Okay? Well, when we get married to Jesus Christ, that's going to be someday. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's going to be quite a day. And I'm just saying to you, don't you think we had better be ready preparing ourselves? Don't you think? Don't you think, folks? Ought to be ready preparing ourselves for that day when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes and gets us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today. You're good to us. You're kind to us. Thank you for your goodness and kindness. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, taking care of us. Thank you. And Lord, help us to prepare when you come. In Jesus' name, amen.